From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
The news first, the headlines. U.S. Asian Business Council praises Indonesia's COVID-19 handling. Government is committed to Papuan MSME's development. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where the U.S. Asian Business Council delegation praised President Joko Widodo's successful handling of COVID-19 pandemic at a meeting at the State Palace in Jakarta on Wednesday, escorted by Antara. Minister of Investment and Head of the Investment Coordinating Board PKPM, Bahlil Lahadalia, who accompanied the President at the meeting, pointed out that in general, they expressed their gratitude for President Joko Widodo's leadership in handling the COVID-19 pandemic. The delegation also thanked the Indonesian government for supporting the ease of doing business, which allowed them to continue to run their businesses despite the global uncertainty due to the pandemic, the minister said in a written statement released by the State Palace. He also conveyed this is evident from the economy, which grew 5.4%, and inflation, which was below 5% year-on-year in July 2022. In general, they lauded president leaderships, although the global economic condition is not too good. The government has expressed its commitment to encouraging the growth and development of Papuan micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs, considering the province's potential, particularly in the fashion, culinary and handicraft sectors. Minister of Communication and Informatics Johnny J. Plate remarked in a virtual speech at the proudly made in Indonesia National Movement or GERNAS BBI event at Cendrawasih Sports Center in Jayapura, Papua on Wednesday, that Papua has enormous potential which can be tapped and developed into superior products in terms of fashion, culinary and crafts aspect. As quoted by Antara, he also said the government's love for Papua has never faded despite ministers being unable to attend the event in Papua in person due to a cabinet meeting with President Joko Widodo. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Arifin Tashrif has said that his site supports the use of integrated social welfare data or DTKS, for distributing subsidized fuel and determining who can purchase it. Through the data, direct assistance can be allocated more precisely. This was conveyed by Minister Arifin during a working meeting with Commission 7 of the House of Representatives DPR on Wednesday, as reported by Antara. He further said the use of the data requires coordination with relevant agencies. In addition to using the DTKS, the government is implementing various restrictions to control the consumption of subsidized fuel, including by digitalizing gas stations in collaboration with the Traffic Corps of the National Police to obtain data on vehicle. Entrepreneurship Deputy at the Ministry of Cooperatives and Small and Medium Enterprises SME Siti Azizah on Wednesday called for a strategy for accelerating the digital transformation of micro, small and medium enterprises MSMEs. The digital transformation of MSMEs in Indonesia is still lagging behind compared to several other countries in Asia, she noted at the 6th Annual Islamic Finance Conference, which was streamed online on Wednesday as reported by Antara. This is evident from the fact that the digital transformation of Indonesian MSMEs only reached 13% in 2020 and it is targeted to reach 47% in 2024. Meanwhile, in China and Japan, it reached 48% and 54% respectively in 2020 and could potentially rise to 78% and 84% respectively in 2024. Let's move it on to the international news, where Taiwan unveiled a proposed 12.9% year-on-year increase in its defense budget for 2023 to $415.1 billion Taiwan, or $13.72 billion U.S. dollar on Thursday, amid tensions with China, which was sharply increased military activities near the democratically governed island. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, China, which claims Taiwan as its territory despite the strong objections of the government in Taipei, carried out its largest ever military exercise around the island after a visit this month by U.S. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. On top of the proposed budget, Taiwan President Tsai Ing-wen's cabinet is proposing an additional $108.3 billion Taiwan in spending for fighter jets and other equipment. The proposals, which is a record high and must be approved by Parliament, marks the island's 6 consecutive years of growth in defense spending since 2017. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Wednesday called the 6-month anniversary of the start of Russia's war in Ukraine a sad and tragic milestone. Guterres made the comments during a special meeting of the UN Security Council in New York to mark the anniversary of Russia's invasion of its neighbor on February 24th. As reported by ChannelNewsAsia.com, the UN chief described the 6 months of conflict as devastating. Guterres further explained the consequences of this senseless war are being felt far beyond Ukraine, referring to its impact on food and fuel prices. Prime Minister of Japan Fumio Kishida on Wednesday stated that Japan should consider building new nuclear power plants. As reported by BBC.com, this could be a controversial policy shift after a nation suspended many of its nuclear plants in the wake of the 2011 Fukushima disaster. But Kishida said the Ukraine war and soaring energy costs highlighted the need for diversifying energy sources. He added that nuclear power may be needed to meet Japan's target of going carbon neutral by 2050. Aside from considering building next-generation nuclear reactors, the government will also look to restart existing plants that are currently offline and extend their lifespans, Kishida said at an energy policy meeting. Listener, now let's move on to Diplomatic Corner. On Indonesian products are promoted at the Indonesian Independence Day reception in South Africa. The Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria, South Africa, exhibited some products and culture of Indonesia at a diplomatic reception in commemoration of the 77th anniversary of Indonesian independence on August 22, 2022. On that occasion, various products made by Indonesian companies were showcased, including from PT Indofood Sukses Makmur, which displayed its excellent products, Indomie Kalbe Pharma with woods, Cobb Syrup, and PT Pulau Sambu with Kara Coconut Milk. The reception was held at the Pretoria Country Club and attended by invitees from the central and provincial government officials of South Africa, diplomatic circles, defense attaché, Indonesian honorary consuls, academicians, as well as the South African business people and friends of Indonesia. Indonesia's ad interim charge d'affaires in Pretoria, Victor J. Sambuaga, in his remarks conveyed that the moment of celebrating the 77th Indonesian Independence Day this year was grateful to the God's grace because of the easing of the COVID-19 pandemic experienced by all countries in the world, including Indonesia and South Africa. Besides Indonesian's products, the Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria at the diplomatic receptions of the Indonesian Independence Day also promoted Indonesian's traditional culture. One of them was the Klana Topeng Dance from Yogyakarta, performed by traditional dancers Anton Prabowo. Meanwhile, the political functionary of the Indonesian Embassy in Pretoria, Fauzan Irhamsyah, hoped that the excitement of the celebration of Indonesia's Independence Day could also be felt by the partners of the Indonesian government, particularly those who are in Pretoria. The celebration is a stimulus for all people to be able to quickly rise and become stronger and give birth to a new spirit in a bid to strengthen relations between Indonesia and other friendly countries. Deputy Minister of Transport for South Africa Lydia Sidisiwe Chikunga, who attended as a guest of honor at the receptions, congratulated the Republic of Indonesia on the 77th Independence Day and hoped that the close relations of both countries could run well and continuously. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. VOI International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Listener, we begin Today in History with the event on August 25, 1933, when earthquake hit Dieksi. An earthquake occurred in Dieksi, Mao County, Sichuan, China on August 25, 1933 with a magnitude of 7.3 and a maximum Mercalli intensity of extreme. This earthquake killed 9,300 people. The earthquake in the Dieksi region was the most severe at the time. We move to the next event on August 25, 2003, about two big bomb explosions in India. Two large explosive bombs exploded at two different locations in India. One bomb exploded in a busy area of Mumbai, the other exploded near the Taj Mahal. As a result of the two large bomb explosions, 44 people were killed and about 150 injured. We end Today in History with the event on August 25, 2012, about the death of Neil Armstrong. Neil Armstrong was the first person to walk on the moon. Before becoming an astronaut, Armstrong was a United States Navy officer and served in the Korean War. His first space flight was NASA's Gemini 8 mission in 1966 when he was the command pilot and became the first US citizen in space. On the mission, he made the docking of the first two manned spacecraft with pilot David Scott. Neil Armstrong passed away on August 25, 2012 from complications after heart surgery at the age of 82 years. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
VOI International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragen van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Down, strip, keep this every-
everyone has to know, everyone has to know.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ecosystem service for electric vehicles will be improved in Klungkung, Bali. This is in line with the fossil fuel vehicle transformation efforts to eco-friendly electric ones. This was stated by Regent of Klungkung Inyoman Suwirta when testing the electric vehicle to be used by the heads of states participating in the G20 conference. Some 400 zero-emissions electric vehicles are prepared for the G20 in November 2022. Suwirta said that the mass use of electric vehicle is a government effort in reducing carbon emission in transportation. Electric vehicle will help overcome climate change and global warming. Suwirta added that the government keeps encouraging the use of mass electric vehicle in Indonesia, one of which is the Presidential's Regulation No. 55/2019 about the Battery-Based Electric Vehicle Program Acceleration for Land Transportation. State-owned power company PLN Klungkung Unit has the public electric vehicle charging station. Here, people can charge their electric vehicle battery by using smartphone's app. He mentioned that the Indonesian fuel consumption is around 1.2 million barrels per day and contributes to 27% of carbon emission, or around 157 million tons of CO2. The use of electric vehicle can reduce fossil fuel consumption and CO2 emission. According to Suwirta, Indonesia has the potential to make electric vehicle because the technology and components are simpler than the conventional vehicle. Indonesia has the potential to produce batteries with support of nickel mineral mines as battery raw material. Currently, the Indonesia's battery holding is being made to process nickel products from the upstream to downstream until it becomes an electric vehicle battery.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku. Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Aku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Walau hanya sesaat, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa dirimu. Aku yang selalu ada untukmu, selalu memberikanmu cintaku. Tak bisakah kau merasakan itu hingga kau pun mencintaku. Cintaku yang selalu ada untukmu, tak usah kau pernah ragukan itu. Hingga ku tak bisa bila kau pergi jauh meninggalkanku. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk meninggalkanku sendiri tanpa kamu. Aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Walau hanya sesaat, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa. Tanpa kamu, aku di sini untuk kamu. Jangan pernah berpikir untuk pergi dariku. Hanya sesaat, ku tak bisa hidup tanpa. Bisa hidup tanpa dirimu.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
While being the inspector of the ceremony to commemorate the 77th anniversary of the Republic of Indonesia at the Merdeka Palace in Jakarta last Wednesday, President Joko Widodo got dressed in the traditional Bhutanese dress, Southeast Sulawesi, namely the Dolomani, which is usually worn by the 35th Sultan of Bhutan, Sultan Muhammad Ali. This outfit is originally all black, and it is only worn during official sultanate events. Especially what President Joko Widodo wore on Indonesian Independence Day 2022, Dolomani traditional clothes are made in red and white color. The traditional clothes consisting of shirts, trousers, sarungs, and skull caps, which are dominated by red. Dolomani traditional clothes consists of a red robe with white ornaments on the edges. He wore kotango, which is an undergarment in the form of an ivory white shirt decorated with sequins. This outfit was decorated with gold or silver thread embroidery, where the edges of the shirt and collar were decorated with rainbow flower patterns embroidery. Then President Joko Widodo wore red pants with the same ornaments as on his robes. He wore a red round skull cap with white ornaments and a white brown sarong covering the top of his trousers. Batik or Ewanga weapons were also tucked at President Joko Widodo's waist and reinforced the sulepe or metal belts. He also held a katuko or wooden stick measuring 1 meter as a sign of leader. There are various meanings in Dolomani traditional clothes, one of which is the embroidery of the Rongo flower motifs, which symbolizes the journey of a leader. To be a leader, everything starts from the bottom to up. Then the leader will go down again to the common people. The head cover with floral ornaments has calligraphy that reads Maulana, which means a leader must be able to bring prosperity. A leader must also be trustworthy, and he prioritizes the interests of the people rather than personal ones. On the right and left sides of the shirt, it is equipped with embroidered ake ornaments, namely the image of two birds while looking to the left and right. The meaning is that a leader must always be aware of the dangers that threaten the countries he leads.
Maaf telah sayang padamu, kau selalu buatku tak menentu. Perhatianmu yang buatku, oh, ingin ku memilikimu. Meski kau telah dimilikinya, bolehkah ku dekat denganmu? Izinkan ku dekat denganmu, tak ingin engkau dengannya. Ku akan, oh, menunggu, oh, sampai kau menjadi milikku.
Kau jadi milikku,
dirimu
Thank you, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Listener, August 24th is commemorated as National Television Day, This commemoration actually refers to the incident on August 24, 1962, on which for the first time Televisi Republik Indonesia or TVRI, as the first television station in Indonesia, aired while broadcasting the opening ceremony of the Asian Games the Fourth at the Gelora Bung Karno Main Stadium in Jakarta. Interestingly, on August 24, two private television stations in Indonesia, namely RCTI or Raja Wali Citra Televisi and SCTV Surya Citra Televisi, also commemorated August 24 as its anniversary. RCTI was inaugurated on August 24, 1989, while SCTV was established on August 24, 1990s. The existence of these two private television stations also marked the beginning of the diversity of televisions in Indonesia at that time. In the context of National Television Day, this time we introduce you to an Indonesian television personality who is currently serving as the Indonesian ambassador to Singapore. He is Suryo Pratomo. Born in Bandung, May 12, 1961, the man who is more popularly called by the name Tommy started his career as a journalist at Kompas. His career then developed rapidly. He was then trusted by the editor-in-chief of Kompas, one of the leading newspapers in Indonesia, at the young age of only 39 years. Tommy was then entrusted as chief editor, director of news, until his last position as president director of Metro TV. He actively plays a major role as a member of the COVID-19 handling task force in Indonesia. Based on the decree of the President of the Republic of Indonesia concerning the appointment of Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiaries of the Republic of Indonesia, Suryo Pratomo was appointed as Ambassador Extraordinary and Plenipotentiaries of the Republic of Indonesia to Republic of Singapore. The four major agendas assigned to Ambassador Tommy were the protections of Indonesian citizens in Singapore, increasing cooperations in the health and economic fields, and maintaining peace in the South China Sea region. Suryo Pratomo is the first non-career official to serve as Indonesian ambassador to Singapore in the last 20 years. The last non-career ambassador was the coordinating minister for maritime affairs and investment, Luhut Binsar Panjaitan, who served from 1999 to 2000.
Pagi sebentar lagi, kau diam dan menanti. Tak bisa ku jelaskan yang mendesakku di dalam perasaan, terselip harapan. Langit mulai menerang. I wanna be with you for the rest of my life. Kau bawa cahaya ke dalam hidup. Tak cuma hari ini, ku ingin selamanya menanti pagi tiba berdua. Ku beranikan diri memecah sunyi pagi, mengungkap yang tak terucap, yang lama diam di hati. Perasaan, terselip harapan, dan langit mulai menerang. The rest of my life. kau bawa cahaya dalam hidupku. Tak cuma hari ini, ku ingin selamanya menanti pagi tiba berdua. For the rest of my life, kau bawa cahaya dalam hidupku. Tak cuma hari ini, ku ingin selamanya menanti pagi tiba. Oh, menanti pagi tiba, menanti pagi tiba berdua.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu, maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo choku yo shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegi mashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Waqaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overdragging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, now I'm going to give you a song entitled Galih dan Ratna or Galih and Ratna by the pop legend of Indonesia, Krisha. The song Galih dan Ratna, composed by Guru Soekarno Putra, was released in 1989. It was a soundtrack of a film entitled Gita Cinta dari SMA, starred by Rano Karno and Yessi Guzman. The film and the song itself is about two lovers named Galih and Ratna. The movie remade in 2017 was starred by young actors and actresses. The soundtrack Galih and Ratna was also remade by the vocal group GAC.
Well, listener, here is Gali and Ratna by Krisha. Lagu Gali dan Ratna, Krisha.
Voice of Indonesia.
Manusia mencari hal yang tak dimengerti, terus menggali entah kapan berhenti. Lebih berkilau tak selalu lebih indah. Bisa kau lihat tak berarti nyata. Berjanjilah kau kan mengerti, pahamilah arti hidup ini. Bahagia tak perlu kau cari, sudah ada di hati, tak ada alasan. Berhenti cintai yang tak pantas dicintai. Selalu hargai yang setia di hati. Berjanjilah
of Indonesia.
ini.
Tak pernah padamkan rinduku.
Namun sebaliknya, rasa sayangku tercurahkan semua hanya untukmu. Sampai matiku kena kesatu untukku.
Mata hatimu mengarah, istri jangan marah-marah, cintaku takkan pernah berubah. Ku percaya nanti pasti akan berakhir indah. Pada waktunya cuma kita berdua, dua hati satu cinta, saling menjaga. Ini lagu untukmu, cobalah kau dengarkan. Baby I love you till the end of time.
Baby oh,
you're the one for me,
you're the one for me.
Thank you very much for you who have been joining us in the English service from Voice of Indonesia. We are expecting any opinion from you, so feel free to send it to our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice.of.indonesia, Twitter, @voiindonesia, and also you can send it to our email, voi@voinews.id. We hope that your opinion will help us to bring you better information about Indonesia. Well, the listener, make sure that you will stay tuned with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.